Well, good evening. Always a pleasure to be here on a Sunday night. This is Gridiron Wrap. He is, of course, Bill Keenis. My name is Sean Bellegian. And Bill, you know what? I'm going to bring up something different for just a second to start the show. The Cardinals knocked off the Browns tonight.
They did.
Cardinals are the only unbeaten team in the National Football League. They beat the Browns 37-14. The Cardinals are 6-0, making an argument, I might add, for being the best team in the National Football League right now. After all, they're the only unbeaten team. Why am I bringing this up first? It wasn't that long ago that people thought the Cardinals were going to be wandering the wilderness out in the desert for years.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians saw what was coming, left town, obviously went to Tampa. More on that in a second. The Cardinals were going to be a bad team forever. Just goes to show you what happens when you get the right people in place, you bring in the right people, how quickly fortunes can change in the National Football League.
No question, Sean. And I think, you know, if you ask the average football fan how it happened, they may not remember just a few short years ago that they selected a quarterback number one that they departed with after one season, Josh Rosen. Yep. And that takes guts in today's world to admit as a, you know, sports franchise that you made such a colossal mistake in your opinion. I'm not sure if he's on any roster right now. He may be, but to succeed in anything, certainly to succeed in the NFL, you make a mistake, you have to own up to it quickly. Don't perpetuate, you know, the reality of at some point it's going to be a decision you're going to have to make, but in the meantime you lose opportunities. So I think you're right. I mean, it wasn't that long ago they got a quarterback that is so unique and creates such a different dimension for any defense to play him, and their defense is playing really well, very well. So
it's amazing. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, can't Bill, argue with, and I think you know why I bring this up. People are probably smart enough to figure this out. It's tough right now. There's no other way to say that they lose to the Bengals today. Who
I know,
boy, Cincinnati's going in the right direction. I know we talked about it a couple weeks ago. You saw them up close and personal.
I did.
Boy, that team's going in the right direction, and they showed it today.
Right, they did, and I want to get right back to that, but we do have to talk about a Detroit team that won this weekend, the mighty Wayne State Warriors.
Yes.
And there's a rumor out there that you had a pregame talk with the team, Sean. I'm not sure if you did or didn't, but we don't have to confirm or deny it. But that was the first win for Wayne State in quite a while. So those young men on that team, that coaching staff, that organization, their play-by-play guy, I mean, what a joy that had to be, and how special.
It was fun. It is, Bill, you know how it is sometimes when it starts rolling downhill. Boy, if anything can go wrong, it goes wrong. And, I mean, they had so many close calls this year. Yeah. So to go out to Davenport and win yesterday and watch the celebration from the team when they win.
No doubt.
I'm sorry. That stuff always – forget what the record. It's like
we talked
about a couple weeks ago. The Matthew Stafford game against the Browns. Who cares?
Exactly.
They were so happy. Yeah. Great to see. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah, you mentioned that I saw the Bengals a few weeks ago. They played the Jaguars, and it went down to the last play of the game. And I was impressed, as we talked about last week or the previous show, with those two young quarterbacks. Jacksonville wins today on the last play of the game, and to see the joy in those players, I mean, it gives you goosebumps. It does, because that's what it's all about.
Yep.
And conversely, that's why, and we talked about Dan Campbell's reaction last week, the emotion of it all. It's both extremes. But the reality that I believe is so profound that, you know, the heights of victory are not as extreme as the depths of defeat, because losing is brutal. And after I had my game today, Minnesota, Carolina. But after that game, I started to go back and look at what I could on the Lions game. And I'm not surprised in a way that the Lions had a game like this, because it catches up to you after a while, the emotion of those losses. And then I went to the play-by-play. And when you have two unforced errors, essentially, on your first offensive drive of the game, that pushes you back, that to me is so alarming. And it really was a portent of things to come. They just couldn't find a rhythm, couldn't find anything, as Coach Campbell talked about after the game. But penalties are going to happen. But there's physical penalties and there's mental penalties. And to have unforced errors, if you will, on the first series of the game was brutal. And like I said, that probably was it turned out to be at least a really good indicator of what kind of day they were going to have.
Well, I think a lot of people wondered aloud after everything that went down in Las Vegas,
right,
how the Raiders would respond.
Responding
on the field. Yeah. They are pounding the Broncos 34 to 17. Now they just added a field goal. So Bill, you've been in that position before.
Yeah.
You feel sorry for the guys in the room. It's not their fault. You know, they're going out there, they're being paid to play
a game
they love. And
yeah,
sometimes it's tough to put those blinders on and put that other stuff in the other room, but sounds like the Raiders are doing that today.
Yeah, they sure are. I was so impressed with Derek Carr's comments this week. Boy, he just came across as someone that has maturity beyond his years, has a grasp of the team, and I thought that's the kind of guy you would think players would follow and want to follow. And today's game certainly is an indication of that. And I'll tell you what that game reminded me of, because it was in Denver. And I'm going way back now, Sean, but it was the 1987 season. And we had just lost a really tough game on Sunday. And this was the week from hell, if you will. There were a bunch of things that went wrong that week. We had a player go off on the coaching staff. Jimmy Giles was a tight end we had acquired from Philadelphia, and he was very critical of the offensive staff after the game that Sunday. Reggie Rogers, who was the number one pick the year before, had an issue with his sister, so he was in and out of the Silverdome all week. There were so many things. It was just like a black cloud was over the team from that Sunday throughout the entire week. And we were playing at Denver, and it was right around this time of year. And I advanced the game. So I was out there from Wednesday on, and I don't remember who the play-by-play guy was, but the analyst was Hank Stram. So we have the production meeting and we're waiting on the team to get into Denver, and I'm talking to Hank, and I don't know who, like I said, could have been Tim Ryan, who used to do games with Hank, but I, the optimistic one, I said, you know, Hank, with the type of week that we've been through, it's going to do one of two things. It's going to, fracture a team, or it's going to galvanize a team. And knowing the type of players we have, I think we're going to come out here and shock people. I just can't wait for this game. And he's looking at this young PR guy. Yeah. Okay. and needless to say, Sean, I was wrong. We got beat 35-0. And sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know. So anyways, so much for us having the kind of game way back when, like the Raiders did are having today. You know, good for them. Good for them.
No doubt about it. Well, on Thursday night, the Buccaneers improved to 5-1 on the season. Another massive game for Tom Brady, 297 yards, a couple of touchdowns. They knock off the Eagles 28-22.
Yep.
A guy that knows a little something about Tom Brady from his playing days, both playing with him and playing against him. And now a coach on the staff down in Tampa Bay, Detroit's own Larry Foote is going to join us when we come back. He's Bill Keenest. I'm Sean Bellegian. This is Gridiron Wrap on 760 WJR. Well, so glad you can join us on a Sunday night, and so glad that this special guest can join us as well. Bill Keenis, I'm going to give you the honors to introduce. I can call him Detroit royalty, right?
He absolutely.
May not like to hear it, but he's definitely Detroit royalty.
No question. Detroit, Michigan, you know, the NFL, you name it. But I'm thrilled to have someone that I have the highest regard for, Larry Foote, joining us. And I'm gonna start with a little story about Larry when he played his 1 year with the Lions back in 2009. And I had followed Larry throughout his career, obviously at U of M, and then he played for my hometown Pittsburgh Steelers, two Super Bowls there. Always thought he was a tremendous player. And so we signed him in 2009, and I was thrilled because I'm thinking we're getting a guy that's going to be a leader. He was. That's going to still has a lot left in the tank. He did. And is a Detroiter. You know, how cool is that? He chose to come home and play with us for a season. And there's two things I remember. And the first one, Larry, you can confirm this, but that summer I found out that your favorite athlete when you were a child was Alan Trammell. Is that correct? Do we have Larry on there?
There he is. I can hear him. Larry, are you with us?
Apparently, we're having some technical issues.
We'll try to get that technical difficulty worked out.
Okay.
Let us know, anyways, when we have them, and we'll continue the conversation, Bill.
Okay. So, anyways, I learned that Larry's favorite athlete growing up was Alan Trammell, and I think Alan must have been coaching with the Tigers at the time. And so, you know, through some colleagues with the Tigers, whatever, we were able to get Alan to come out at training camp, and we surprised Larry with that. And boy, the smile on his face could have lit up the night sky. It was wonderful. And just to see, you know, two true Detroit legends, you know, have that mutual respect, which Alan definitely did for Larry as well.
You know, isn't that funny, Bill? Because as we wait for Larry and Jason, just give us the high sign when Larry is with us. I, of course, my friend, old friend, Darren McCarty, he and I do a show together on Friday nights. And here's a guy that didn't grow up too far from Detroit and Leamington. He loved Lance Parrish. Parrish. And it's funny. Yeah. So ever since he, you know, who's your favorite player, Mac? Who's ever catching for the Tigers? You know, that's something that he absolutely loves. So let's see if we have Larry now. Larry, are you there? I can hear him. Unfortunately, we just have a little technical difficulty. We'll get that fixed out. We, you know, look, point blank, ever since the pandemic, we're learning to do things from home. And sometimes there's a little difficulty and some communication is lost.
Yeah.
Larry, of course, Detroit Pershing, University of Michigan. And, you know, one of the things that jumps out to you, Bill, is he was an underclassman when there was a senior quarterback by the name of Tom Brady at Michigan. He played against Tom Brady, and now he's a coach on Tom Brady's team. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how that works out.
Isn't that something? Yeah. It's amazing the way the circle turns sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just to let you know what's going on is we try to connect with our buddy Larry Foote. They're going back and forth in New England right now.
Isn't this amazing?
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. The Cowboys got a pick six to take a 26-21 lead. The Patriots just came back. Mac Jones, after throwing the pick six, throws a 75-yard touchdown. And the Patriots are now on top 29-26 with 2:11 to go in the game.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, and that's a rookie quarterback doing that for the Patriots. That young man is so impressive, so impressive.
No doubt about that. All right, let's see if we are connected with Larry. Are you there? Nope. We'll try to work this out.
Yeah.
It happens. Sometimes it happens. I'll let you know what else is going on very quickly in the National Football League. Looks like the Raiders are going to win that game. 3:08 left in that one. They hold a 34-17 lead over the Broncos. The Broncos started out 3-0. Looks like they are about to drop to 3-3 in that one. And Dallas, of course, is getting the ball back with a little over 2 minutes to go, down by three. This has been an interesting game because, Bill, the Cowboys have ran up and down the field in this game. And they an interception, a missed fourth and one, a first and goal from the one where Dak Prescott fumbled on fourth down going into the end zone.
Yeah,
just a lot of shooting themselves in the foot, but they still got a chance to win this one. There's a lot of time left in Foxborough. Cowboys trail by three, of course, tonight. Always let you like to let people know what's going on tonight. This should be a good one tonight, and quite frankly, tomorrow. Seahawks and Steelers, two teams that are probably better than their record indicates. They're both 2-3, and then tomorrow, the 4-1 Bills travel to Tennessee to take on the Titans. That should be a dandy, Bill.
Absolutely.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So hopefully we'll be able to hook up with Larry. I know Jason Fisler just texted me. He says he is still working on it. By the way, while we have a moment, rainy night all over Metro Detroit on Friday night, Bill. How did things go for Troy Athens?
Well, it was a crossover game that a lot of the high schools play, I believe, late in the season. And we had a team scheduled originally, and then something came up that they couldn't play it. So we were worried about getting a game. We had to get a game to keep the playoff hopes alive. So we were able to get Detroit Pershing. You know, kudos to Detroit Pershing, or excuse me, I got Larry Foote on my mind, Renaissance High School. And so they made the trek up to Troy, and they had beaten Cass Tech earlier in the year, a depleted Cass Tech roster. They had some COVID issues. But the Red Hawks of Troy Athens really responded well, came out with a 41-6 victory to keep the playoff hopes alive. So it was a glorious night in Troy at Athens Stadium.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's about keeping those playoff hopes alive. And you know what? I don't know. This is the romantic in me, Bill. I love those rainy Friday nights.
Yeah,
I
just, no doubt.
It's funny if you saw some images from what transpired on Friday night. There were so many games. There was mud everywhere.
Yeah,
that's the way it worked. I'll let you introduce our guest. I believe he's with us.
Okay, do we have Larry on the air?
Larry, are you with us? I can hear him there. It's just, unfortunately, there just seems to be a little snafu there.
That's the kind of defense he played for U of M. He didn't let anybody get close.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to connect with Larry.
Right.
Some technical difficulties. We apologize, Adam. I hope you understand. And Larry, you know, obviously text Larry and say we're trying to work this out, and we'd love to chat with Larry. Such a fantastic career. Bill, you mentioned it. He had a lot of football left when he came. Too bad for us. He only stuck around for 1 year, but he continued to play 5 years
after he left us.
I mean, he eventually finished his career with the Cardinals, where he got to know a guy by the name of Bruce Arians. And I think that relationship worked out well, huh?
It sure did. And all, you know, obviously the ultimate compliment, testament to what Larry's all about, when you have a head coach that coached you as a player and wants you to be a part of their staff. I think that really speaks volumes about, you know, what a great football man Larry truly is.
Yeah. And in case people don't know, he became an assistant linebacker coach with the Cardinals, and now he is the outside linebacker coach with the Tampa Buccaneers. And obviously the Buccaneers, they might have something to say about this talk of the Cardinals being the best team in the National Football League.
Isn't that true?
That's why we play the game. Hey, you know what? I mean, this is what's fun right now. The Rams look fantastic. They had an off week. Yep. Tampa looks fantastic. They had an off week. Obviously, the Cardinals are yet to have that off week. But yeah. This is what you love about the National Football League. Bill, this is a league that I think wanted parity. One man's opinion. I think this league has been intent on parity for a while, and I think they've got parity. It's pretty interesting to watch now.
I don't think there's any question about that, Sean. You know, you really don't know from week to week. I mean, the Lions could easily have beaten Baltimore. Baltimore rolled over the Chargers today.
Yeah.
And the Chargers were the talk of the AFC coming into this week. And you just don't know from week to week what's going to happen. That's why they play the game.
Yep. No doubt about it. Well, great things going on in college football as well. We already touched on one of them. Bill, thank you. Wayne State knocks off Davenport yesterday in Davenport. Hopefully a little winning streak is around the corner. I got a tough one going up to Saginaw next week, but it's nice to get that first one under your belt. Hopefully we'll be able to connect with Larry Foote as well, but we're up against a break. Don't go anywhere. More Gridiron Wrap on a Sunday night right here on 760 WJR. Welcome back, 7:34. So glad you could join us. Let's see if we can get a hold of Larry Foote this time. Larry, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Bill Keenis, I know you wanted to introduce a guy that we said, whether he likes to hear it or not, he's Detroit royalty.
He is absolutely Detroit royalty, and it took us a while to get him. Sort of like it took the Lions a while to get him, you know, from Pittsburgh all those years. And it was worth the wait on both occasions, I'll say. But I want to give you a little story about Larry when he came to the Lions in 2009. So quickly established himself as a leader of the team, somebody everybody respected and looked up to. So we opened the season in New Orleans that year. And that was also Matthew Stafford's first ever NFL game. So a couple days before the game in New Orleans, we're leaving on Saturday to fly down. And I think it was a day or two before, and Larry and I had the beginnings of a great relationship already started. And he asked me if there's something I could help him with, if I could do him a favor. And I said, sure, whatever. So Larry wanted me to help facilitate getting a group of young people, Boys and Girls Club, you know, whatever it might be, in New Orleans. So when the team arrived and we went to the hotel, he said, can you get 30 or 40 kids there? Get a meeting room or somewhere we could meet. And I want to have a talk with the kids. And all the kids that show up, I'm gonna buy them tickets for the game. And I'm like, holy moly. And Larry and I said, okay, what else can you tell me? And he basically just said that he wanted to give them some encouragement, a life story, some life lessons that he learned perhaps the hard way, but something that he could give back to the youth, in this case of New Orleans. So got a meeting room set up. I think it was with the Boys and Girls Club of New Orleans. The kids showed up. There were about 30 or 40 of them. And Larry gave one of the best talks I had ever heard. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, boy, we got something more special than I could even imagine. He didn't want any publicity. He made sure that this is just between me and the kids. And you know what, Sean? He did that on every road trip. It became standard practice. Get to the hotel, there'd be a room for Larry. We'd get, you know, some young people that were, you know, facing some struggles in their life for often mostly no fault of their own, but just needed to see somebody that might have been in their shoes at one time and to encourage them. And I didn't think many people would know that story, right? I mean, you probably never heard that he did that stuff. No. Well, as we're trying to get Larry on the phone, I get a text from our dear good friend Tim Pendel, who ran Detroit Lions Charities and Community Relations for years, was the top in the NFL, led all the NFL committees. And I didn't know this about Larry. So Tim sends me a note talking about how Larry would host the Detroit Lions Academy students with good attendance records every year for Christmas, for a Christmas shopping spree. So he would encourage good attendance for the Detroit Lions Academy students. And imagine this, those that qualified, Larry had him picked up in a limo and took him Christmas shopping. Wow. That I didn't even know about that. So that just goes to show you what kind of character this man just embodies. And, you know, he did it, you know, as a young man in college, in the pros, and now he's his legacy still lives on. And just think of the impact he's had on all those that he touched.
Oh, that's awesome. Larry, let's start right there. What made you decide to do something like that, to give back, to share your time and to do those types of things? Because so many guys get wrapped up in the game and there's so much preparation for the game. And, you know, that's something that obviously is near and dear to your heart.
Well, just growing up, a lot of guys, such as like Jalen Rose, Jerome Bettis, Reggie McKenzie, guys, I can go on and on, but I just remember as a young kid and just looking up to these superstars, and I hung on every word that they came and shared with us, and I just thought that had a big impact on my life. And I just always knew if I was ever in that position, I was going to do the same. God definitely blessed me with the money to afford it. And just spending time with those kids, just trying to encourage them the best way I can. As always, faith-centered around Jesus Christ. I just share my lessons, what I learned, and just some of my, you know, just some of my shortcomings. You know, I was always transparent with those kids. And just hopefully, I just planted a seed, or I was there to water it. And hopefully those young kids I made an impact, they're pushing it forward.
Larry Foote kindly joining us, of course, former Michigan Wolverine, former NFLer, with, of course, the Lions, the Steelers, the Cardinals, and now an outside linebacker coach with the Tampa Bucks. Larry, how's that transition been for you? Because it didn't take long for you to make that transition while playing for Bruce Arians to the coaching side. How's that transition been for you?
It's been great. I heard too, some of the former coaches say, hey, former players that became coaches, I heard some of them tell me, just take some time off and give it some thought. Then I also heard some tell me, hey, just jump right into it. I was blessed and fortunate. I jumped right into it. I was offered a job my last year by Bruce Arians, and it's been awesome. You know, the pay is a little different, of course. The hours are a little bit longer. But other than that, I still get a buzz. You know, I love Sundays. And, you know, I still get geeked up early in the week trying to come up with a scheme to beat our opponent. But, you know, I'm still in the game, so I'm definitely thankful for it. And I'm also in position to, you know, help mentor the young athletes.
Yeah, Bill, you know, sometimes you can see a guy and you're around the team or we're around the team as much as anybody. Sometime you can see it right away. You look at a guy and you're like, that guy's going to be a coach. Did you get that feeling about Larry?
I did. And we often talked about it because I told him, you know, I want to coach with you someday. You know, I mean, years ago, I could see it. And I always envisioned Larry staying with the game because he understood the platform it gave him. He's obviously still using it, and he's using it for the greater good, which is ultimately, you know, to those.
Me and Bill had plans to go to Pershing and coach, but Bruce ruined those plans.
He's right.
But me and Bill, we had plans to go on 7 Mile and Ryan.
That's right, buddy.
Leading the Doughboys to the state championship.
Amen.
But Bruce Arians ruined those plans.
Yeah, but you're still having the influence, Larry, and you're the perfect example of to whom much is given, much is expected. And you're doing that every day. And I'm sure you have that impact in a different way on the players that you're coaching as well.
I'll try. But, you know these rich, spoiled athletes. No, I'm just joking. But I'm trying. But, you know, I don't hesitate to teach those guys, and especially the young ones, just trying to tell them just some of the lessons, and hopefully they listen.
Larry Foote kindly joining us here. It's Gridiron Wrap on 760 WJR. You mentioned Pershing. You're so busy now. You talk about the long hours, you know, and everything you really have to pour into the game. But do you get a chance to keep an eye on what the Doughboys are doing, what Michigan's doing?
Well, definitely. I heard Pershing had a great season.
Yes.
They just was in the Division II city championship. I didn't get the results yet. I put a text message in.
But yeah, I'm not good, Larry.
Proud of that. And, of course, I'm excited for my Wolverines and what they're doing so far. Yeah.
I have a question I've been dying to ask Larry about the difference or the similarities of, you know, you won two Super Bowls as a player and then you won last year as a coach. Is there I don't know if the word is nervous, anxious, what are the difference in the feelings that you carried into those Super Bowls between being a player and a coach?
You're definitely excited. Far as the closer the game gets, and it's definitely through the run of the playoffs, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Even as a coach, your focus is just – it just steps up a whole nother level. You wish that's like that week one or the dog days of training camp, but it's not. But when you reach that playoff and you in the hunt for it, I mean, your focus and detail is just – that adrenaline gets going and it just just heightens. And it's the same as a coach, just like as a player. And you stress to them guys, you try to create that and try to get them going, but you can't. You know, you just got to get to that level. But each little detail, you just focus on it that much harder. And you're always nervous. You're always nervous. And just on this side of being a coach, it's kind of like a parent. You know, you're a proud papa. You just want your guys to do so well. And if they don't, you know, it just stings a little bit.
Yeah. Was there a point in the season last year where it just hit you, we got a real shot here, where the team seemed to be coming together? I mean, it was a bizarre year because of COVID and everything. But as you look back on it, was there a point where you thought, okay, this could happen?
Late in the year, early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, Tom being the new addition, offense was up and down, defense was up and down. And, you know, we lost some big games. All our measuring stick games, we lost.
Yeah.
So, but right around the end of November, which a lot of teams, if you look at the history, Super Bowl teams,
right,
they don't lose in December or whatever that stat is. And I seen those guys click. Mm-hmm. And just the attention to detail just rose. And that momentum got going. And I knew it. It's kind of my first Super Bowl year in 2005 was similar. We both had to go on the road to win.
You guys were like a wild card team that year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you won four road games. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we had to win every game, like probably at the beginning of November, just to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that team reminded me of that. And just they came together. I seen them gel and they bond. And, you know, you're always surprised, but, you know, looking back at it, you know, I'm not surprised. I just seen how the guys, they bought in.
Yeah.
Larry Foote, of course, former Michigan great, NFL great, outside linebacker coach for the Tampa Bucks, joining us. Larry, I want to talk about the difference between winning the Super Bowl. You won a couple as a player. You've won one as a coach now. The differences between the two, and the reason I ask is I once heard from a hockey coach that said he loved winning as a player, but there was a little something more to winning as a coach. And he used, quite frankly, the same analogy that you did about it's almost like you're watching your kids do it. And so you get that parental joy. Did you have that same experience? How would you compare the two?
Absolutely. Just like that. I'm going to tell you the most satisfying thing. After we beat Green Bay this last year.
Yeah.
And our flight was probably delayed 3 hours. And I sat back and watched how those guys partied and celebrated in that locker room.
Yep.
And, I mean, it was just – I mean, it brought a tear to my eye just watching those guys because they fought so hard. Everybody had to buy in with the COVID and all the restrictions. And those guys, man, I mean, our COVID police was nervous watching that fiasco go on in that locker room. But thank God everybody was negative. But
yeah,
just sitting and watching those guys, and I'm on an old group text with all my old Steelers, and probably about 20 to 30 of us on there. And I just told them guys, we never celebrated the way those guys did. And I was just so happy for those guys.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
What else can you say about Tom Brady that hasn't been said? I mean, Bill and I have talked about it almost every week. It is just, it is amazing that this guy continues to play at such a high level and at his age. I mean, this is something that we have not seen in the National Football League for a guy to play this long. What sets Tom Brady apart?
I'll tell you what, in my opinion, what sets him apart, and I've been sharing this with my kids. Every day there's warm-ups and you know, warm-ups before practice, before we start stretching with the horn blows. And, you know, pretty much all the quarterbacks over there doing handoffs and they're, you know, just taking their little regular quarterback steps that you don't even pay attention to. So I noticed last year, like, his handoffs look like he's actually in the game. Hmm. Like, everything he does when he gets in between those lines is serious. Even if it's on the side and they walking through a blitz protection, he looks like Sunday. Like, anytime you can't never say, oh, man, he's out there goofing around or not taking it serious. Just taking a snap from the center, it looks like he's in the game. And I try to share that with my young boys. Like, man, Brady, everything he does, and I really get on him in baseball, you know, like in between the innings when they just taking little grounders, you know, they just see him, you know, they lackadaisical. So I just share with them. Everything Brady does, it looks like he's doing it to win. Everything.
Wow. That has to rub off on his teammates too, Larry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody gets in line. Everybody gets in line.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, you've been so gracious with your time. It really is an honor to talk to Detroit royalty. Bill, I'll ask you if you have anything else for Larry before we let him go.
I just can't say enough about Larry, the man. You know, the football stuff speaks for itself, but our society is blessed with Larry Foote being in it. And it's one of the highlights of my career, even though we were only together for a year. He's at the top of my list. And it's not because of how great a player he was or how great a coach he is and will be a head coach someday. No question in my mind. It's because of the type of person he is and the impact and influence he has had, is having today, and will have tomorrow on so many lives. I love Larry Foote.
Great stuff. Larry,
Me go out with the last saying. Let me talk about my man Bill Keenan.
Yes, here we go. Let's go.
No, I double down everything he said about me. Bill is the man. Bill is one of those guys, Sean. The first day I met him, I just knew he was different. We hit it off right away. We don't talk every day, don't see each other every day. We was only together 1 year. But when I get a text message or I call him or anything, and most of the text messages is me asking for a favor, and it's definitely one-sided. And he never hesitates, and Bill is just one of those special. I mean, you're talking about Detroit heroes. Bill is definitely one of those. And our community in Michigan, we're just blessed to have him, his family. And Bill, you're awesome. You know that. And one of the best gifts I ever received was meeting my man, Alan Trammell.
And there you go.
Yep. Bill made that possible. And, you know, I would have picked the Super Bowl, bringing the Super Bowl home to my Lions. But that gift right there, I couldn't ask for it. It was totally unexpected. I don't even know if I ever mentioned that to you, Bill. I don't know if you just see me write that up. And all of a sudden, Alan Trammell was there for practice. Yeah. And we went to lunch.
Yep.
And I'm going to take that memory with me to the grave.
Amen. That's wonderful,
great
Larry.
Stuff. Larry, we're always rooting for you. I hope you know that. Everybody here, you're one of us. As I mentioned, you're Detroit royalty. Continued success, and hopefully we can catch up somewhere down the line.
Hey, let's get on after Michigan beat those Spartans in a couple weeks.
There you go. We'll do that.
And if we lose, let's cancel that to after we beat Ohio State.
Okay. That's a deal.
All the best, Larry. Appreciate your time.
Love you, buddy.
All right, love you guys. Peace.
All right. All right. Larry Foot kindly joining us here. We'll wrap things up next year on 760 WJR.
Yep.
Bill, we're going to touch on the Spartans, but I have to embarrass you like Larry Foot embarrassed you just a moment ago.
Okay.
So this afternoon I was talking to my son. He's out in LA, and he said, do you have the show tonight? And he said, yeah, I have the show tonight. Yeah. And he said, how's Mr. Keenest? Because you are just Mr. Keenest to him. And what people may not realize, and I'm sorry to do this to you, but this shows you what type of guy you are. During the 09 season, my son and one of his friends were being made fun of because they were Lion fans.
Yeah.
Here we are less than 30 miles away from Detroit because the Lions had been struggling, of course, 0-16, and they were struggling in 09. He comes home from school, and he was dejected. I mean, there's no other way to say it. He's going, Dad, kids are making fun of me and Bryce because we're Lion fans. Yeah. And you were kind enough to invite my son and his friend down to meet some of the Lions, and he got a chance to talk to Matthew and talk to Calvin and talk to you. Made that kid's life, and so that was 12 years ago, and he still makes sure to ask, how is Mr. Keenest? So little things like you have done and like Larry Foot have done really, really mean a lot in the grand scheme of things.
Well, that means the world to me that you share that story, because it's great to have young fans like your son. And my sons and daughter went through it too, you know, during some lean years. So we could relate, but that's when we're all given different platforms, you know, it's good to be able to use them the right way. So that was that I'm sure that gave me as much joy just seeing their eyes light up when they were talking to Matthew and Calvin as it did those two young guys.
It was awesome. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Quickly on the Spartans, it was a rough game yesterday, but all is well that ends well. The Spartans knock off Indiana, and Bill, we're setting up to what could be a very special game.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, the eyes of the college football universe are going to be just focused on East Lansing in a couple weeks. And I think every year a team has a game like that, a tough game. It's on the road. And I thought it was a great game because they won, you know, and it's not how, it's if. And then just hearing and seeing some of the reaction, they won by 5 points. I think that's about what they were expected to win by, you know? So they did what all the experts thought they would do. And Indiana, they get scholarships there too. So it's another, you know, credit, hats off to Coach Tucker and his staff for doing a great job.
Michigan moves up to 6 in both polls. Yep. Michigan State moves up to 9 in the AP and 7 in the coaches poll. Well, time flies when you're having fun. It's always a pleasure. Yeah. Great job getting Larry on. What a quality human being. Great job, Bill, chatting with Larry today.
Yeah, I loved it. He is special. He is special.
We want to thank Jason Fissler behind the scenes. He's very happy as well. The Cowboys win in overtime. Yes. He is our resident Cowboy fan. So it'll be a fun night in the Fissler household. Thank you for listening. Until next week, my name is Sean Belegian for Bill Keenest. Thanks for listening to Gridiron Wrap.